lovely to be back in Australia and to be spending a lot of time in rural and regional Australia. I don't think anyone is more pleased about that than my mum. I think she's almost ready to lobby the ABC for a new television program called Farmer Wants a Former Afghanistan Correspondent. And I may be keen for that as well. What I'm going to do tonight is to speak really informally and try and give you a bit of a picture of what it's like to be a journalist in Afghanistan and to take you into that world of what Afghanistan is and the situation that's going on there. I'm really pleased that we have some Afghans with us, some new Australians who've come all the way from Afghanistan and are restarting their lives here. And I had the pleasure of meeting with some of them earlier, so I'm really thrilled that you're with us tonight as well. So this picture, this is your 8 cents a day at work. This was the ABC's bureau in Kabul. You can see that it was a fairly a basic operation. It's just a desk and a bed and a chair, basically. It was a fairly easy commute from home to work, as you can see. And quite an easy commute back again for a nana nap, should that need to occur. This room was in a secure compound in Kabul with a couple of other media organisations. Security and logistics companies run these compounds. They keep them secure. They organise the meals and all that sort of thing. It wasn't safe for me to be in an apartment or something like that on my own. So that's why we chose to be in this compound. We're in the same compound as CNN. This is an area called Sherpur, which has a lot of large buildings that you can see. They were actually funded, a lot of them, by the drug trade in Afghanistan. Many of those who made money from opium built very large houses in this area. That kind of gaudy, pastel-coloured design trend is nicknamed, as it is in other parts of the world, narcotecture, because it was funded by the drug trade. So it's quite interesting that many of these compounds are now occupied by foreigners who are, you know, tut-tutting at the drug trade, and yet we reside in the buildings that were built by this particular money. I want to give you an idea a little bit of the technology as well and how important that is, particularly for a female journalist as well, being able to carry all of the gear, what's called a BGAN, and that's a satellite dish. And that's about the same size as this laptop computer that I've got in front of me now. So that means you can broadcast from anywhere. Even if there's no internet, you can throw this up on the roof or wherever you need to be. And you can send television pictures and radio, whatever you need to send back. So that used to be something that would have to go on the back of a truck or in the back of a cargo aircraft for journalists to be able to broadcast. When that folds down, it looks like nothing. You actually can't tell what it is unless you know what you're looking for. They're illegal in some countries where they don't want satellite technology. So when I was in Africa, I would pack it in my backpack, often near my underwear, to try and keep them away from it. So if I have radioactive knickers, it's because of this thing. Yeah. Our operation was really, really small. We didn't have a cameraman in Kabul, so I was filming the stories as well, and also worked with a local producer, Martin. He faced quite a number of security threats just before I left Afghanistan, and he's actually now in Australia, awaiting for his visa. Working with foreigners can be a very, very, very dangerous and hazardous thing. He's actually a young doctor. He'd completed medicine in Afghanistan. His brother had previously worked with the ABC, and then Martin started working with us. He was brilliant. His job was to help set up some of the interviews, do the interpreting of interviews. And 9 times out of 10, if we went somewhere, he'd already been there the day before, had sat down and had cups of tea with whoever we needed to speak to, and would always smooth the way. So he really risked his life to help us get the news out of Afghanistan, and he's a very, very dear friend. We're very careful with the staff that we choose to make sure we know those families well. So the driver that we worked with worked for one of Martin's family members, and the reason that we then chose him was that that reduces the risk of kidnap. If the driver's family has a connection with the producer's family and we know they're good, if they try something, they know that the driver will know that that's going to ruin the job prospects for his brother and have big consequences for his family. So it's almost, if you imagine shoelaces crisscrossing over, that's what we try to do, to have as many connections to those people that we trust to make sure that things are as safe as they can be. A kidnap's still quite a large issue for foreigners in some parts of Afghanistan, so it was something that we were very, very careful with. If we were filming in parts of Kabul, we'd try not to go to the same place on consecutive days. If we did have to go to the same place, we'd go a different way, we'd go at a different time, we'd change cars after a few days, just not to set patterns, because as you can imagine, I stand out there, I don't really blend into the crowd very well. Mm.